And we're back for another episode of The Last Storm. My name is Mark. I'm back with Dave. We're here to talk about the Thunder. And, well, bro, we are one win away from locking up the playoff spot. And that's it.
I mean, it doesn't get more simple than that. We focus on what we can control. That's it. Everybody else, I guarantee you out there, is going to be controlling like, oh, well, Dallas lose this, da da da. It doesn't matter. We have to win to win.
Beat the Grizzlies on Sunday. It doesn't matter what the Mavericks do. Now, the Mavericks have a game tonight, and they have a game Sunday. If they lose either of those games, it doesn't matter. If we win or lose, then we're going to the play-in. It's going to be a tough game. It looks like we'll be playing the Timberwolves if we do make that. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but like finding a way into the playoffs from the 9 or 10 seed is pretty difficult. You got to win two games just to get into the playoffs.
Hmm. Yeah,
so
and
you think we can do it?
Single elimination for the 10th, right. Isn't it?
Yeah, it
so,
is.
So, yeah, and if you look at who we will have to play at this point, the Pelicans, I think?
I think it's the Timberwolves right now.
Timberwolves. Listen, with all due respect to the Timberwolves and everything, I just don't think that they have the heart and what it takes to be able to. They could play one good game against us and beat us, but let's just be honest. I feel like the way that this team is playing with the best teams in the league. We blew out the Jazz and they were sitting a lot of players. But if you look at the other games that we've been playing, man, I'm telling you guys, like, these are close games against the best teams in the league. And if we have to play against the Timberwolves, I gotta say, man, I don't think I would be betting for the Timberwolves in that situation at all.
Yeah, no way, bro. Like, there's a lot of reasons to think we might not be able to beat the next game, but that Timberwolves game, even if they're healthy, which whatever that means at this point in the season for them, it's not really fully healthy. And we're going to come out and we've got Shea, so we got the best player on the court. If they have Towns, he could have the best game out of anybody on the court. We struggle with size, but let's not get too carried away with
Towns,
thinking about all that.
Towns, though, like, to me, the reason that I feel like we can be so successful is because Towns' game isn't inside. You know, his game is on the perimeter and at the free throw line. And because of that, I think Jay Will and JRE and, you know, whoever, Dario, would play him incredibly hard and incredibly well. You know, like, and having that mix-up. Like, you know, Rudy is the person that always gives us trouble. But I don't know, man. I don't know.
Yeah. Look, we got to find a way to beat the Grizzlies on Sunday to make sure that we do get to see another game, you know, for the Thunder, which is pretty crazy to think about where we came in this season. And, you know, there's been a lot of speculation, but in the end, you know, we're in the driver's seat for the postseason for this team for the first time in 2 years. So it's just fucking motivating. You know, we talked about it yesterday when we were live watching the game. There's a million people, it felt like, who were just like, this is it. This is the type of team that you want to cheer for. You can read some articles that being written by all over, like, professionals, like top level writers in the NBA world, and they're like, the Thunder is the team of the future. If you're a Thunder fan, you're cheering for the right team. Shit is about to get better. Chet is on the way back, but we don't even care about that right now because we got one game left.
Yeah, and after last night and how we were able to put away the Jazz, we needed to win that game. You know, Dort played 19 minutes. I hope he's doing okay. But everybody else stepped up in a huge way. And I think that's kind of the way that things are being set right now, is everybody's really hungry. You think about J-Dub, you think about Shea, you think about Josh Giddey. They're all super, super hungry. They want more. They're getting a taste of what it is to get that playoff experience. And listen, guys, if you've never experienced a postseason or, national tournament where your team keeps on winning and has an opportunity to win, there's this excitement that happens with it, you know, natural adrenaline. And if you're an adrenaline junkie, then I'm telling you, it feeds you. And Sam Presti, the way that he drafts guys, he drafts those guys that desire that adrenaline kick. Because when they get in those big situations, you need that. You know, you need that person that can step up and score 40 points in a big game. You know, and you see Shea and you're like, damn, like, he's calm and collective and he looks so slow when he's dribbling the ball, but he's so fast And I think that's the thing about it, is that when you have somebody like that, he lulls people's asleep. You know, like, okay, I got him. Boom. Crap, I didn't have him. Why didn't I get help? Well, because you said you had him. You know, like, that's what Shea does. And then all of a sudden he gets help. And then what happens? Jay Will is wide open. Or, you know, we saw it last night where Lindy Waters wide the fuck open, you know, three times down court. And finally, boom, he was waiting. He was wide open and it was nothing but net. And that's what Shea does. He doesn't need to score. He scored, what, 20-something points last night? It wasn't about scoring from him. It was about allowing his teammates to do what they needed to do. And the team carried us last night.
Yeah, I mean, there's a legit argument to say that that was the first must win of the season. We had other games where if we won, we could really help ourselves get to 500, you know, different things like that. But when it comes down to it, the Mavericks won. So if we had lost, then we would have fallen behind them. So hanging on to the number 10 spot with the tiebreaker and then moving up half a game on the Mavericks as they have two games left, like, we just went through a very difficult situation. Even so, like, the Jazz weren't full strength. They had a packed crowd. They were playing spoiler. They had junk defenses ready to go. They had players that were playing outside of their normal level. They had two players going for a triple-double. It was an incredible game for those Jazz players to try to come in and show that they belong in the NBA, that they still should be getting minutes, so they should be getting big contracts. And we found a way to build that 20-point lead.
Yep.
You know, in the fourth quarter, and that was enough to just kind of hang on and let it go. And I feel like now we're getting ready to play the Grizzlies, and if the Mavericks win tonight, then we'll be back starting at the same time, I think 3:30 for both teams. So we'll be going into the game thinking this is a must win, because we can't control what happens with the Mavericks, but we can control what happens with us, and we can control our destiny that way. So irregardless, you know, I feel like this Grizzlies game speaks volumes, but there's no way I'm not going to be watching this Mavericks game coming up tonight, because if somehow some magical thing happens, then we make the play-in, win or lose, against the Grizz.
Yeah, man, if we don't have to pick up our dick and we win, that's good. I mean, I'm all for that, you know, and I think that's where this team needs to recognize where we're going and what we're doing is, you know, sometimes it's about the players playing in the situations, and then other times there's situations that are out of your control. And fortunately for the Thunder players, they played their situation that they needed to win last night. They got their win. Now, the thing that's under out of their control is watching the Mavericks play, because if you don't think that every single Oklahoma City Thunder player and a lot of the fans aren't going to be watching the game tonight, then, I mean, you don't know what the heck's going on, because people are going to be so glued into this Mavericks game. And, like, I don't know, dude. Like, to me, this is exciting, because when you're starting to watch other teams play, because it's about affecting your team, you know you're onto something.
So let's look back over the last couple of years, like with what we've seen. There were certain players 2 years ago, we started saying we would pick Shea over these guys. And at the time, people said we were crazy. But let's list some of these guys now. Ja Morant.
Yeah.
Zion Williamson.
Yep.
Trae Young.
Yep.
Luka Doncic.
Yep.
Now, for those four guys, people were like, hands down, you have Devin to Booker take those guys. Well. Booker, all right? You got to take those guys in front of Shea. That's what, like, the consensus wisdom was saying going into 2 years ago. Which one of those guys do you think is better than Shea right now?
Well, to me, if this was going into a draft where these, you know, five guys were being redrafted or whatever, six guys, whatever it is, being redrafted, I think 7 out of 10 teams would pick Shea number one. I think you would be looking at a situation where the other three would be mixed. I think Booker would take probably two votes. But you know, that's what I'm saying. It's like, to me, like, the NBA is so different in so many different ways. If it was Sam Presti, we know what Sam Presti would be picking. You know, there's no question about that. You know, Sam would be all over Shea, you know, recognizing the player he's going to be, recognizing that Devin Booker's kind of leveled out. I'm saying Devin Booker, but I really think we're talking about Jaylen Brown. We're talking about guys within the side of the rookie contracts, or just signed a max contract. So, you know, I, to me, like, that's again why we're going back and forth at this. It's not, I don't think there's another player that's not only set up in a better situation than Shea, but is a better player than Shea. I mean, right. What he can do is revolutionary in the aspect of there's been only a handful of guys in the history of the game. When I say handful, I'm talking like maybe 40 guys, 35 guys that have ever had 2,000 plus points, you know, 175 plus steals or 170 plus steals, and what, 65 plus blocks, you know? And like, if you look at that even more so, there's only like a few of them have been guards. Mm-hmm. And then you start recognizing like that's this year's stats. And it's just like mind-boggling understanding that here Shea is at 24 years old and he is putting up numbers that the greats have only put up. And when you're saying that and it's coming out of your mouth, you're like, wait a second, but this is Shea. You know, like we've watched him grow up since a little kid. This is not, you know, this is not, you know. And then you're like, no, this is, guys. Shea is the next face of the NBA. And all these other people are coming up and starting to recognize that. And they're saying, well, if Shea is the next face of the NBA, but what about these other players then? If they've cracked the code on how to develop, then we're watching a generational team. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're getting all this love right now from all of the other medias out there, media out there, is because they're all recognizing what we're saying, is that this is a generational team. This is, you know, a generational player after generational player after generational player on this team. And that makes a generational team. Mm-hmm. You know, what is it? Where our one or more generational players are gathered together. It's called a generational team, baby.
Yeah, and then you got to look at it and say, because of the age, like, Shea's going to come back and get better next year.
Oh, yeah.
J-Dub will get better next year.
So much
Josh better. Giddey will be better next year. Aaron Wiggins, and go down the list, Usman Jang, of different players who can contribute in so many different ways. Isaiah Joe. Then you add Chet to it, and you're right. We are looking at a generational team. And then we add the wild card, which is pretty amazing because irregardless of how things go, our draft pick should look pretty good this coming draft. And then you add the other wild card of all the other teams' draft picks.
We got two options.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
12 and 10. Those are our two options. That's it.
When it comes to like being favored for like in the lottery, what our position will be.
Because we will never jump the Bulls because we had the tiebreaker against them. We beat them in January. I think it was like January 19th, I think the game was. We scored 124. I don't know what they scored. But my point is that when we played against the Bulls earlier this year and we won, that means if we tie, then that's that. And they have one game against Dallas tonight. So let's just say they win that game. Now we're tied. And the only way for that, you know, tiebreaker to be broken is by them. And it's not like they're not watching that right now, you know? So they're
in the driver's seat for that. And they're happy about that. But we're happy to have the chance to play in the playoffs and also maybe get a pick. That is right where we picked up J-Dub last year.
J-Dub, so, Jang.
Yeah, Jang or J-Dub, either one. That's the upside that we can kind of kick into this.
In a draft that's very heavy, that's very good, that I think that there's going to be players like J-Dub and Kessler, again, that slip into that, you know, 10 to 15 spot, no doubt.
Yeah. And there's a lot of focus at the top of the draft, but there's like six or seven guys I keep hearing being mentioned that kind of fill out that back of the lottery or the top half of the lottery.
Bro. Yep.
Well, everybody's obsessed with the wrong guy. That's how it always works because Usman Jang and J-Dub weren't going to be picked at 11 or 12.
Well,
unless we were there.
Jang was projected to be Sam's pick at 12.
Right. Unless we were there.
Yeah.
Like, they could have fallen to 14, 15, 16 range if we weren't there. The point is, our list is not the same as other people's lists. And no. We work off of it in a different way. If we're sitting there at 10, 11, or 12, like the guy that we're going to pick up is going to be somebody that a lot of people are like, huh, I wonder why. And that's because we play a different game than everybody else.
And we last year, we and every year, we don't pick the top of the draft players, guys. We don't. we don't pick the Chets of the group to start talking about until after we know where our standing is at in the draft. And the reason is because we can talk about the middle of the draft all we want. You know, nobody really gives us, you know, I say with all due respect to the guys that are out there, no one really gives a shit to the middle of the draft. They all care about who's in the top of the draft, right? And when Mark and I are focusing on the middle of the draft, we do that in the offseason because we want to wait to see where our draft pick lies. And the second we were gotten, you know, got the second pick last year, we started talking about Chet. I mean, it was the moment. We had heard some news from what we would call fake reporters that there was going to be a very strong move for Jabari, you know, Smith for the Thunder. And Mark and I are like, you know, that like we liked it, but we just didn't know, you know?
Right.
And anyways, it worked out to be good because the second we recognized really what Sam Presti was doing, and it was one conversation. Mark says, who do you think we're going with? And I said, I don't think that there's going to be another draft that we're going to have a player like Chet. And then Mark's like, that's who we're going with. That's who I have on my list. That's who you're saying. And I was like, that's it. Now we just have to figure out how to convince everybody else, you know, Chet honestly, is going to drop to number two.
If you guys go look at it, we were sending messages to Chet and his camp from our podcast, knowing that they weren't listening. But we're like, here's what I would do if I was Chet's agent to make sure that the Thunder picked him at number two. And, bro, they followed it. I know that they weren't listening to
us. There's no way
they
listened to us, but they did.
There's no way. But the truth is, it was kind of obvious because we paid attention to the drafts before. So we know there's a certain playbook that you can play if you want to get picked by a team. And Chet hit play.
And that was the most beautiful thing about it is that the second we started hearing that Chet didn't give his medical records up and he left a day early, like Mark and I couldn't contain our shit. Like that was it because we
didn't
knew
we
that
do
Chet
the whole slobbing
had
on
us.
On Chet's knob episode. But hoping his mom didn't listen.
We here's the thing. We're probably not going to guess this year who the players are, but we're going to be able to narrow it down to at least three players. And depending on where they go in the draft and what the stock is and how the draft is going to fold out, we should be able to narrow it down. To us, we're talking about the draft a lot. And the reason we're talking about the draft a lot is because we're recognizing at this moment that there's so much happening around the Thunder. Okay, guys? And when you're talking about sitting here and saying the draft, right, and where we're going to land versus players that we're going to pick in the draft. I mean, that's the key, guys. If we're talking about the players that we're going to pick in the draft, we're insulting our players, right? Right now, there's two spots that we can land. So guess what? We're narrowing it down to exactly where we're going to be looking at. And that's what's exciting now is because Sam Presti has given us a playbook of exactly what this Oklahoma City Thunder team is looking for the future of this team, not just the organization, but the future of the NBA. Because every single time that we take a pick, Mark and I look at it and we're like, that is an amazing pick. That's exactly what we would have done. It was Josh Giddey, Chet, J-Dub, Usman Jang. Like, it all made sense. And I think that's the greatest thing about it. Now, as we're getting later in the draft and understanding other guys like that, like, I could have never guessed that it was going to be Jay Will. I could have never guessed it was JRE, that we were going to trade up to get JRE. And I could never guess that would have been Aaron Wiggins. And that's where I want to understand more. And that's where this year I'm even more excited about is because I've understood the game a little bit more from the Sam Presti aspect of the second round. And that's going to be a lot of fun of digging into.
Dude, for sure. And that's why everybody, you should know that when the season's over, we're just getting started. Our favorite coverage is when we get to dig deep into the draft and the potential of some of these guys, but we avoid doing it until the appropriate time, and that will be very, very soon. But in the meantime, we got one game left. The Mavericks got two. If we win, we got another one. And if we win, we got another one. And that's where we're at. We're stuck in one win at a time. Keep this season going. That's what it's all about.
One win at a time. Lose and you fucking go home.
Don't fucking go home.
Don't.